Okay, let's unpack this. Have you ever really stopped to think about how much your early environment shapes you, especially, the beliefs you grow up with? Today, we're doing a deep dive into someone fascinating, Michelle Rodriguez. You definitely know her, that powerhouse actress, always playing these really strong, independent women in huge movies like The Fast and the Furious, Avatar, and her debut in Girl Fight, just incredible, Diana Guzman. Wow. She's more than just an actress, though, right? She's kind of a cultural icon, particularly in the Hispanic community. And she's really outspoken about representation, gender equality, things like that.
Absolutely. And what's really compelling here, and what our sources really dig into, is how those professional ambitions, that strength we see on screen, actually developed against this backdrop of, very specific, sometimes quite restrictive, belief system.
Well,
yeah, sources like Michelle Rodriguez. Growing up under Jehovah's Witnesses and breaking free, they give us this unique window. We see how her family's strict adherence to Jehovah's Witness principles really influence her beliefs, her ideals, even her career choices, and definitely her personal life.
So what's our mission today, then? What are we trying to understand here?
Well, the goal is really to get a handle on the core beliefs of Jehovah's Witnesses, look at the challenges someone might face growing up in that kind of environment, and then trace Michelle Rodriguez's own journey. Her path towards independence and figuring out who she really is.
Okay, so to really understand Michelle's story, we probably need some context first. For those of us maybe not super familiar, what exactly are Jehovah's Witnesses? And what makes their beliefs different from mainstream Christianity?
Okay, good question. So Jehovah's Witnesses are a Christian denomination, yeah. But they have a pretty distinct set of beliefs and practices that definitely set them apart. Their origins, you can trace them back to the 1870s, Charles Taze Russell, who started the Bible Student Movement. That later became the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society.
Yeah, I've heard of the Watchtower.
Exactly. And the name Jehovah's Witnesses, that was officially adopted in 1931. It was really about emphasizing their belief in using God's personal name, Jehovah, which they see as, vital for true worship. At their core, they believe they're the only true followers of Jesus Christ today, and they feel they have this specific task, proclaiming God's kingdom here on earth. So living strictly by biblical principles as they interpret them is absolutely central.
And their day-to-day practices, what are some of the things that really stand out that define their lifestyle and would have impacted someone like Michelle growing up?
Yeah, their practices are very distinctive. They're probably best known for their door-to-door evangelism, right?
Yeah.
Going out and sharing their beliefs directly. They also stick to a very strict moral code. And they mainly use their own translation of the Bible, the New World Translation of the Holy Scriptures. They believe it's more accurate to the original texts, and it informs their unique interpretations.
Okay.
Beyond that, there's the refusal of blood transfusions. That's a big one.
Yeah.
It's based on their reading of biblical commands to abstain from blood, which they see as sacred. They have regular meetings at their kingdom halls. They don't do military service. They don't get involved in politics. They maintain this strict neutrality.
The holidays thing. That's probably what most people know, right?
That's definitely the most widely recognized aspect, yeah. No Christmas, no Easter, no birthdays. They see these as having pagan origins, or just lacking clear biblical backing. And there's also a strong emphasis on avoiding what they call worldly entertainment stuff they think promotes immoral behavior. So yeah, connecting this back, these aren't just minor rules. They're fundamental practices that really shape how someone experiences childhood and life within that religious framework.
Okay, so with that understanding, let's really dive into Michelle's childhood now. How did these specific beliefs play out for her day to day? What was that like?
Well, from what the sources tell us, her childhood was profoundly shaped by these rules. I mean, think about it. No birthday parties. That's not just missing cake and presents, right? It's missing out on a really common childhood experience, which, can create a real sense of difference from classmates.
Yeah, I can imagine feeling pretty isolated.
Exactly. And her family was very cautious about worldly activities. That could mean popular music, certain movies, maybe even some school clubs or social things.
Mm.
It led to her feeling quite separate from mainstream culture, even things like Disney movies, often off limits because of themes like magic or fantasy, which didn't align with their beliefs. Mm. The focus was much more on, say, educational materials that reinforced the community's values.
Wow. So cutting off those common touchstones, What does that do to a kid psychologically, socially? You mentioned isolation. The sources talk about other challenges too, right?
Absolutely. This kind of upbringing can definitely lead to feelings of isolation, and exclusion from things that peers take for granted. It can foster loneliness, potentially impact social skills outside their own community. You know, it raises that big question: what happens to a child's sense of self, their social connection, when so many common experiences are just not part of their world? And beyond just feeling left out, there's the challenge to individual expression. If questioning beliefs is discouraged or even seen as wrong, it can really stifle personal growth. It can lead to a lot of guilt or internal conflict, especially as a child starts developing their own thoughts and feelings that might not perfectly align.
Right. That makes total sense. And given all that feeling of being restricted, maybe that internal conflict, it really sheds light on her adult journey, this like powerful drive for self-awareness, for autonomy. How did acting specifically become such a key part of breaking free for her? It seems almost counterintuitive in a way.
It really does. But it became the catalyst. Her wanting to be an actress created this immediate, undeniable friction with her family's faith and the expectations. This desire to explore a world and maybe explore parts of herself beyond those set boundaries, it just pushed her. And the actual process of acting, struggling as an aspiring actress, learning to embody different people, different emotions, it ironically helped her find her own voice. It helped her start asserting her identity outside of those religious rules she'd grown up with. It was kind of her first act of self-creation, you could say.
That's fascinating. And then actually getting into the entertainment industry, I imagine that just accelerated things, being exposed to so many different people, different lifestyles.
Oh, completely. It was like opening floodgates. Working with all sorts of artists, directors, being in totally different social environments,
Yeah.
it just exposed her to so many alternative ways of thinking and living. These experiences, these conversations, they contrasted so sharply with her upbringing. They really encouraged her to embrace her individuality, to live a more liberated life, and basically redefine herself on her own terms.
It's a powerful personal story, but it definitely touches on bigger questions, doesn't it? About belief systems, especially ones seen as more restrictive and how they intersect with individual freedom. What are some of the broader critiques or patterns we see when looking at restrictive religions?
Well, yeah, looking more broadly, critics often point to potential psychological challenges, things like significant guilt, sometimes depression or anxiety, especially when people start trying to forge an identity outside the strict rules of their faith. And on a societal level, sometimes these systems can, perhaps unintentionally, perpetuate discrimination or reinforce maybe outdated gender roles or even stifle critical thinking, open discussions about things like sexuality, mental health, personal autonomy. Those can be really difficult within some framework.
And it can cause family problems too, right?
Absolutely. The sources do mention that. When someone starts questioning or decides to leave, it can unfortunately lead to really deep family divisions. But, and this is really important, we need nuance here. It's crucial to remember it's not always a negative experience. For many, many people, these same structures provide an incredibly strong sense of community, a very clear identity, moral guidance, a real anchor.
That's a fair point. It's a sense of belonging.
Exactly. It can offer stability, a support network, comfort, especially in difficult times. So while the critiques are valid and important, we have to acknowledge the full spectrum of experiences. It's not monolithic.
And bringing it back to Michelle, her own words seem to really reflect some of those critiques. She talked about feeling suffocated, didn't she?
She did, very openly. She described those limitations as suffocating. Yeah, she talked about the conflict she felt between her own desire for freedom and what the community expected. And she's been quite clear, saying she could never live under such restrictive dogma as an adult. For her, authenticity, being true to herself, clearly became the priority over conforming. It shows that fundamental split on values like self-identity and autonomy. And fundamentally, religion plays this huge role, right, in shaping who we are, our choices. It's often a cornerstone of our belief system. For Michelle, her upbringing as a Jehovah's Witness seems to have created this, let's call it a duality of identity, this sort of internal negotiation between the beliefs she was given and her own growing need for independence.
That pull between tradition and self.
Precisely. And that struggle, reconciling what you're taught with who you feel you're becoming, that's a really common human experience, especially for people breaking away from very structured upbringings.
Yeah, her journey really highlights that. It shows how, for her at least, breaking free wasn't just about leaving something behind, but about gaining something, the ability to embrace new ideas, pursue her dreams without that weight. It led to, well, it seems like profound growth, a more authentic way of being. So wrapping this up, Michelle Rodriguez's story, it's this really compelling narrative, isn't it? About fighting for your individuality when you're up against very strong, restrictive beliefs. It shows how personal growth sometimes really requires breaking free, choosing your own path, embracing your true self over fitting in. It's about prioritizing that personal freedom, that authenticity.
Absolutely. And her story kind of invites us all to reflect a bit, doesn't it? On our own experiences with faith, identity, freedom, whatever shape that takes for us. Her courage to assert her own beliefs, it carries this broader message, I think, that you don't have to be confined by the ideas you were born into or taught. You have the right, maybe even the responsibility, to forge your own path, explore different perspectives.
Mm-hmm. Which leads us to a final thought for you listening. What aspects of your own life, your own upbringing, might have shaped your identity in ways you're maybe still unpacking? And how could understanding stories like Michelle Rodriguez's empower you to explore your own authentic self even further?